desire your prayers this morning. Need the Lord's help. I want to start with a scripture in Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which has been planted. Thinking this morning of that first verse, to everything there's a season. There's a window of opportunity to everything. A few weeks ago in Oklahoma, had some tornadoes come through. Some of them hit right there in Guthrie. One, we probably, everybody in the news saw the one there in Joplin and the devastation that it can do. You know, there's a time for you to get a storm shelter installed if you want one. I can remember in years past living in our house and we had no shelter. And the sirens are going off and the call is coming over the radio. Get to something. If you don't have a storm shelter, get to a center room somewhere and get down. I can remember being in the closet and thinking, I'm going to get a shelter. I'm going to get a storm shelter. And next morning at 8 o'clock, I'm calling the storm shelter installer and saying, I want a storm shelter. Can you put it in today? And you know, he almost laughs. He said, I'm getting so many calls this morning from people that are saying, I need a storm shelter. Says, I can't get it now. I'm loaded down. You know what happens in a little bit of time? The sun comes out, and a storm shelter costs $1,700. Sun comes out. Everything's fine. And you know what? If we're not careful, we'll go on through life and we don't think about a storm shelter again until next time a storm comes. There's a time given. There's a window of opportunity given. I remember in the past living down in Louisiana, you get a lot more warning for a hurricane than you do for a tornado. They can give you days in advance. It's headed this way. Just kind of start listening in, be prepared in a little bit. But as it gets closer, they start honing in on the area that it could hit. And there's people then that if you're serious about it, you've got a little window of opportunity to go do something about it. If you want to get the plywood put on your windows, if you want to button things up and get ready for it, you got a little span of time to be able to do it. To everything, there's a season. It's no time to do it when the 100-mile-an-hour wind hits. Don't grab a piece of plywood then and say, you know what, I need to get out there and get it on my picture window. It's too late then. For each of us here today, there's a window of opportunity given in our life. Spiritually, to the young people today, there's a window of opportunity given. Ecclesiastes 12:1 tells us, remember him now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's the very best time to build. There are storms going to come out in life on down the road. The best time for you to prepare for them is when you're young. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. But he doesn't just stop there, because there's some of us that don't do it in our youth. So he comes on with the other scripture that says, now is the day of salvation. It doesn't matter if a person is 80 years old, he gets the same call. Right now is the very best time of your life to make a change. That window of opportunity can be now. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. Now is the accepted time. So spiritually, there's a window of opportunity given. I think about Noah. When he was warned, he moved with fear and he went to work on it. He had a window of opportunity to prepare. And it says that that preparation not only benefited him, but it was to the saving of his house. That same thing can apply to us. When that window of opportunity is given to us, there was a time when, as a young person, I was responsible for one, just me. Save yourself. There was a time I got married, and to every one of us here that's married today, you have a charge to help the other one also make heaven their home. And then children come. Grandchildren come. The charge widens then. Like Noah, if you will prepare, it's going to help to benefit not just you. But there were some other folks got saved because Noah planted. Noah went out. He went to work. He got after it. taking care of business, and it was to the saving of his own house. Now there's a song that says, soon the summer will be ended. There's a time, naturally, for us to plant. I know in the past I'll watch people that are diligent about putting in gardens. They get out there and they work the ground up and they get everything planted. And about the time I see tomatoes coming off is when I say, you know, it'd be pretty nice to have a garden. Now I can maybe put it in then, but June and July is not the time to plant. There was a season given for planting. And if I pass that season up, it'll never be the same as it would have been if I would have taken care of it early. And that's the same way with us. You know, there are times that when the talents were given out, there was one talent given to some, and they felt like it's just not even hard enough to mess with. So they didn't plant it, and nothing came from it. And it is so easy in life for me, for those of us who feel like, you know, I really don't have an ability, so I believe I'll just not do anything about it. And the seasons pass. The spring of our life passes. And I didn't even take the one. I buried it. And the day comes when we need to see what the harvest is. Soon the summer will be ended. Soon the harvest will be o'er. Soon the day of offered mercy will be past forevermore. That winter time of our life, now soon to go out to meet the Lord. And the time for planning is past. And I want to talk about the purpose that God has for each of our life. You know, when the sun's shining, it's pretty easy for all of us to have a little something that we could give to someone else. But I want to tell you, this one says, there's a time to every purpose. God allows a time for the purpose that He has in your life. To be able to, not just for myself, but to be able to have something to give to someone else.
Amen.
When that really shows up the most, when it has the most bearing on others, is when we can do it when we're in adversity ourselves. I was looking at this verse in Jeremiah 29 and 11. It's a promise that we've probably all read it and love it, like to hold it for our own. It says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I take that verse and I pull it out of that chapter and I say, that's a promise given to me. Have you read that whole chapter in the past and looked at what was he talking about? He was talking about a time of adversity. It's when his chosen people were down in Babylon. They're captive for 70 years. And he tells them here in the 8th verse, he says, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. You know, we're living in a time where we hear so much about spiritual prosperity. You make a decision for Christ and your life is going to go wonderful. Things are just going to go your way. The Bible doesn't tell us that. It lets us know they that will live godly, they're going to suffer some things. There's going to come some trouble. If you have decided, if people decide, I believe I'll live for the Lord, it's going to be all sunshine from there. You won't last long because it's going to come a rain.
That's right.
This one, if I only look at this verse, that God tells me, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They're thoughts of peace. What that was, when we back on up, he says, I have caused you to be carried captive down into Babylon. I'm the one behind it. And I want to let you know something. Don't try to get out of it. It's going to be 70 years before I release you. But I want to tell you what to do. There's a time to plant in adversity. Folks, each one of us are going to have times of adversity. You remember when the folks went to the children of Israel and they said, they're in captivity. And they said, would you sing us one of those songs that you used to sing? They hung their harps on a willow tree. I have nothing to give. I'm burdened down myself. There's a time to plant.
Yeah.
What I want to say today is that time is just as important in your time of adversity. That God has something for you to be able to have enough that you still have something to give out to others.
Amen.
He lets them know here, don't do that, because that's not much of a testimony. When you've been carried captive when you're now in trouble yourself and you have nothing to give, he said, here's what I want you to do. You're going to be there 70 years. Build you houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters to husbands. And be not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captive. Now, that's a different kind of picture right here. There has been a time given for them to sow. They could say, these 70 years, I'm not going to enjoy it. In fact, I hope trouble comes to this country that brought me out and put me captive. But instead, God's telling them, the thoughts that I think of you are good and not evil. Now, in this trouble that you're in today, start planting. Because there are things that you will be able to help others with. There's the song, number 128. Because we're all going to meet this one day. Maybe the young, today everything is going well for you. There's going to come a time when trouble hits. And if we're not careful, we will close in into a survival mode. I only have enough for myself. And maybe not enough for that. When God says, this is the time that you can give out to others.
Amen.
In the second verse, all the heart ties of earth may be sundered, so that I may thy purpose fulfill. Help me gladly submit and not murmur, ever saying amen to thy will. I've been looking at some examples in the Bible of people that were able to plant during adversity. Have you read the book of Esther? And you take a look at Mordecai. One of the things it says about him was he was one of those that had been carried away captive. When people are in that kind of situation, they have a decision to make. There's a verse that says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I have nothing to give. I'm burning up within myself. I'm being consumed with this thing that is eating on me. Those folks that were carried away captive had a decision they had to make. Mordecai one day heard about a plot that was being made to possibly take out, I don't know for sure how the history was, but what if this were the king that was in charge when he was taken captive? There was a plot on this man's life, on this king's life, and Mordecai heard about it. You know what? If we're not careful, our life will be, you know what? God's fixing to deal him justice. It's about time he caught up for what was been done wrong to me in the past. What did Mordecai do? He went to him and revealed it to him and spared the king's life. You know what? That thing rolled around. One day, it spared Mordecai's life. It's interesting to read how God works. With that story, with that piece of that story, one day, there's somebody out to get Mordecai. Haman hates the Jews. Want to have his life taken. Goes out and builds the gallows. And comes in early in the morning to get the king to give him permission to take Mordecai's life. But look how God works. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're thoughts of peace. When Mordecai told the king that and spared his life, he had no idea. He didn't go to him and said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a secret, but you better turn me loose. No, he kept right on serving. But that morning when Haman walked up to the king, something had just happened. God woke that king up during the night, couldn't sleep, and he had him to say to the servants, would you open up the books that will tell us the history, the things that have happened in the past? Now, how did they happen to turn to the page that told about Mordecai turning this in? That's one interesting story right there, because just about this time, Haman walks in at the wrong time. Just as the king is thinking, he's asked him, what have I done to Mordecai to honor him for what he has done? And about that time, he gets a knock on the door, and Haman is coming to see about having Mordecai's life taken. Talking about how God works in some things. So Haman falls in his own trap. Remember the king asking him, what would you do to the man that the king wants to honor? Well, Haman says, there ain't nobody else but me that would get that. And so he builds it up. Put the king's crown on his head. Put his robe on him. And you have the second man in charge lead him around the city. And he said, I'm going to do that very thing. Put Mordecai on the horse, and you walk him around the town. God is in control of this thing. And it all backed up to the time when Mordecai said, I'm not going to be burnt up with bitterness. I'm going to do the right thing in adversity. It went on down to Esther. She's the king's wife now. No one knows that she's a Jew. And this time has come that all Jews will be killed. You remember when Mordecai sent word to her and said, we need help. Need you to go to the king. Need you to talk to him because we need help. And she says, I can't do it. Because anybody that walks into him without him recognizing them, it's death. And Mordecai had something to say. Who can tell but that this was the very reason that you were brought into the kingdom? There is a song that I heard recently. It says, long years ago, when Esther was to go before the king, her heart was filled with fear at what the task might be. Her uncle said, this is a chance you cannot dare to miss. You've been called for such a time as this. A window of opportunity that opens for a little bit of time, and then it can close again if we don't take advantage of it. That chorus says, because this isn't just about Esther and Mordecai. This is about where we live today and the places that God brings us to. You are called to the kingdom for such a time as this. God has designed that you be right where you are. Just touch the scepter held out to let you know you have the call, and with it, strength to go. In our time of life, where Esther said, I can't do it, and he said, it's possible that this is the window of opportunity that God has put you in this place for, to be able to help him out. And she said, okay, I'll do it. If it costs me my life, I'm willing to do it. To each one of us here today, when you are in adversity, because every one of us can shine when the sun's shining, we have something to give out to others when our life is going well. But adversity is going to hit us, each one. And I believe God would like for us, before the tornado hits, before the hurricane hits our life, that I have something built into it that I'm able to give.
Amen.
Remember with Moses, I'd like to look at that verse in Hebrews 11. He had a lot of opportunities that he could have taken. 11 and 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. When I thought about his life, when he was met at the burning bush by God himself, and God told him the call that he had for his life, the purpose that he had for his life, did Moses tell him, you have picked the right man. You called on the man that can handle this job right here. Was that what he said? He said, I'm not eloquent, and I know how to feel with Moses. I'm slow of speech. Can't do the job. I tell you what, why don't you go pick somebody? That's a good thing. It needs to be done. It's a job needs to be done. But you go pick somebody for it. It came to the place that he rejected it enough that it said God was wroth with him. I believe God would like for each one of us here today, when we feel like we have the one talent and can't do it, and maybe even there's adversity going on in our life, to be able to hand all that over to the Lord.
Amen.
And say, I'm going to just offer you a vessel.
Yes, yes.
You use that vessel as you see best. Because in myself, I see Moses. I understand where he was to say, I've been stuttering all alone. There's others that can speak better. Let me sit down. I'll tell you, I was thinking about this morning. Let me sit down. I'd like to hear somebody else. But you know what? God says, you just give what I give you, and then go sit down, and we're ready for it. But I believe what he would have for us this morning, because adversity comes to us, and if we could realize it's part of God's purpose for my life right now, he's got me here. There's another one that has really impressed me. We have heard the story of Naaman, and we focus on Naaman throughout that story. and his not wanting to dip in Jordan and in his willingness to dip in Jordan. There's somebody else in that story that has really impressed me. There was a little maid that could have been eaten up with bitterness. She could have said, I remember my parents before they were killed. This man's responsible for it. He was the leader of those that came. I hear he's got leprosy now. I believe that's God's justice to him. What did she say? Would to God, my Lord, were with the prophet of Israel. I know where there's help for you, and I want help to be given to you. And she put no strings on it. She didn't say, I tell you what, I'm going to pray that you won't get it until you turn me loose. You know, we never read in that, even after he came back, that he turned her loose. She may have spent her life serving, but there was something in her heart that said, I've got something to give. Even while I'm a captive, even when there's trouble in my life, I have something that I can give out. In that third verse of number 128, because can you imagine what it would have been, even as a child, the memories at night? And how do you keep bitterness out? She did it somehow. She must have had some parents that before they left her, they instilled some things into her that, you know what? Life may not always serve you a bed of roses, but I tell you what, you can have the victory through it, no matter where you are.
Amen.
In that third verse of 128, though my plans and my hopes may seem blighted, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to love thee and trust in thee still. For I know all is well that thou doest, and my heart says amen to thy will. There's another one that was a captive. Daniel was taken captive. There was one day that the king came to him with a dream that really troubled him. And Daniel could have, when he heard that dream and knew what the revelation of it was, he could have said, this is your judgment for what you have done. But instead, what was his reply to the king? My Lord, let this dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation, let it be to thine enemies. How can you do that in a place where you're captive, when you're a slave in a foreign land, and you can have this kind of attitude? The man that is holding me down, I desire that this bad that's fitting to come into his life would be made easier. You remember he even gave him the solution for it. At the end of him telling him, this is what's going to happen to you. But he said, I want to tell you, if you'll change your ways, it's possible that the Lord will not let this happen. What I'm talking about today is having the right attitude when we're in a time of adversity, still being able to plant. And then it didn't end there. Two chapters later, because of a plot and because of the king not being as humble as he should have been, you remember when those came to him and said, for this next month, anybody that prays, let it only be to you. He knew Daniel. Daniel was one of the high ups in his kingdom. And now Daniel's in the lion's den. You remember the next morning when the king came to him, hadn't slept all night. And what does he say? Daniel, has that God saved you? What would your reply be? What were you thinking, anyhow, to get me thrown down into here just because you got the big head and wanted them to pray only to you? Those kind of things could have boiled out. They weren't there to boil out. What did he say? O king, live forever. My God has taken care of me here. That is what we can have when adversity is coming to us in life. Because we realize, you know what, the things that happened to me, did not really come to me at the hand of man anyhow. God has allowed it. And I want to tell you, there's going to be peace come into our lives. This place where God was talking to him and said, I know the thoughts that I'm thinking toward you. They're thoughts of peace. He wants to give us a peace that the world cannot give us.
Amen.
The only peace that the world can give us is all circumstances are favorable. Everything is going your way today, and you can have peace. The peace that the Lord wants to give us each one today is when troubles have hit and they're piling on, and he's able to give us peace then. Another example that I thought about was Joseph.
Yes.
How could he keep from being bitter in his life? when he's sold by his brothers, he sees the transaction and there's nothing he can do about it. When he is sold to Potiphar and he goes in there and Potiphar's going to try to make him work, bitterness will make a young man say, "Kill me if you want to. I'm not turning a hand to help you at all." But instead, there was something about Joseph that he could plant in adversity. And it said, with him keeping the right attitude, things started prospering at Potiphar's house. Things started going well. But then here comes more trouble. And he is now put in prison. Does he say, "I finally had it. This is as far as it's going"? No, he even had something to give to the two prisoners that came and said, "We have a trouble of our own."
Yeah.
He could have said, "Don't tell me about it. I got plenty of my own." But instead, he had time to be able to plant to someone else.
Amen.
And you remember when it came down to the point that his brothers came back and they now stood before him. He had time now to play a little bit with them if he wanted to, the cat and mouse game. But instead, what he had from his heart just boiled out. "Folks, it wasn't you that sent me here. The 13 years that I lost of my life wasn't because of you. It was God preparing me to be able to take this place. 13 years of my life wasted, and he's not even bitter at the end of it." It has been a challenge to me because life's not going to be rosy. Because I chose to live for the Lord, there's going to be adversity come into each of our life.
Yes.
And there's a time to plant. There is a time for planting in adversity. And it bringing fruit in other people's lives.
Thank
the Lord. There's a verse that says, "Those things that were written aforetime, they were written for my learning." These things that we have looked at, maybe we've heard about them in Bible stories as children, sitting at home before. But they were written for our learning, because each of us are going to go through things ourselves.
That's right.
There was not very long ago in Oklahoma City, Sister Imogene started failing in her health, an elderly sister there. Throughout her life, she has been one that when she has a need, when she is sick, when she has a need, she turns in the request. And she would be faithful to come back. Usually it was the next service. The Lord's already answered, and she's back with thanksgiving. She was one that would witness to other people. Her health started failing, and she started losing her eyesight, going blind, something none of us would want. And she started praying, as God lets us do. He tells us, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. And so I always go to him wanting the best of everything in my life. And she got that opportunity. She told the Lord, said, "Don't let my eyesight go. If you will heal me, I can reach out to other people better. I can be a better witness for you." And she came to meeting and told us, "He has let me know I've got you right where I want you." And that's not a cat and mouse game. What he's telling her is, you've been called for a purpose. And he told her, you're going to reach more people blind than you could have well. And it happened. Hospice started coming in to work with her. And people she would have never met came in to minister to her. And she wouldn't pass up an opportunity to tell them about the Lord. Now, I want to ask you something. A lot of times, as we are in the working world and we're looking out toward retirement, what goal do you have in life that would be perfect? This is my goal in life. I want to ask you, how many of you from a young person have said, "I cannot wait to go into a nursing home"? You get meals brought to you. You don't have to work. Sometimes you'll even get meals in bed. Nobody wants it. And yet, how many people go to it? And you know, we can read these stories about Daniel in adversity, and it seems like something way back. But folks, things are going to come into our life that we never wanted. And we're captive now in a foreign land. You know, old people love their home. Sister Imogene, after she went blind for maybe a year and a half, there was a lady that came in and cared for her in her home, 7 days a week, just staying right there, and it was such a blessing to her. But the day came that they can no longer do that, and she moved into a home. You know, you can let bitterness eat you up when you go into a nursing home.
Yes.
And I wondered, will the grace of God be able to keep her here? And it was quite the first time we went to meet her. I wondered, will she be bitter? And I know an old person has to work through things. There are times that they have good days and bad days. But her testimony was, these folks are so nice to me here. You know what? There's going to be things come to us. There's seasons that's going to come to every one of our lives that we can let it eat us up, or we can plant in it. I've gone down there and visited Sister Alta in Hammond there. You know what? She could have let a root of bitterness starve. Every person that goes into a nursing home can do that to whoever put them in.
Yes.
Or you can rise up on top of it.
Right.
And she chose to do that. In all of our lives, there are going to be things come to us that we have to make a decision. Will I plant in adversity? Or will I do like the children of Israel did when they said, would you sing us one of those songs that you did when you were free? And I say, I can't do it. I have nothing to be able to give. I'd like for us to look at a verse in Mark 6 and 34. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And it came on down toward the end of the day, and it's time for them to go, and they're weary. And his disciples have a answer for it. Send them away. Let's get rid of them here, because we can't take care of them. But instead, he said, you give something to them. Today, I believe the call for each one of us is, don't send them away. When a window of opportunity opens for you to minister to someone else, and maybe it's even in your own time of need, that you be able to have something to give to them. Because you remember when the woman was coming needing help, begging for help, and the disciples, their reply was, send her away. She's troubling us. But that I would be able, in my own life today, that I would be able to have something to give to others. Because I believe we each one have a desire to make heaven our home. And things are going to come that will knock us off our feet if we let it. But that we would be able to be a vessel that is used. It's ready. Lord, I'm going through a troubled time myself right now. But you have the grace to fill my need.
Amen.
And give me something to be a vessel that I can reach out to other people. In closing, I'd like for us to look at number 147. I'd like for us to sing it. Because so many times I will say in my own life, I just got one talent anyhow. That's not going to make much difference. This one says, I'm only an earthen vessel that Jesus may use as he will. Whether much I may do in his vineyard or small be the place that I fill. For each one of us, when your time of adversity comes, that we would say, Lord, I don't have much here, but I tell you what, by your help, I'll give what I have.
Amen.
He'll take us through that time, and it'll not only cause us to survive, but it's going to help someone else. I desire your prayers.
Praise the Lord.